from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
What's up, everybody? It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
And I'm Alon.
And my name is Rich.
I was totally going to do the intro. You didn't think I'd be here in time. You didn't think I was going to make it to the studio.
Hey, I'll take what I can get, dude.
All right. Well, I am here along with Rich, although I don't think Rich is going to be here next week.
So close, though. So close.
Yeah, Rich, I don't think we're going to allow back because he didn't do very well in school this past semester. And school is very important to us.
What are you, like his dad now?
Well, listen, the boy, he goes to our favorite university, UAT, the University of Advancing Technology, and he comes back with less than stellar grades. Really, if you're going to be an intern here, you need to get straight A's. Otherwise, we don't want you.
You didn't get straight A's?
No, I'm not as studious as Alon.
Did you get straight B's, at least?
Not quite.
Let me tell you, at a university that gives out only whole grades, no pluses or minuses, to not get straight A's is just, there's not much of an excuse. I may have gotten a B or two at UAT, but like...
That was when you were sleeping?
Seriously.
There really isn't an excuse.
All right, so what was your worst grade?
I got a C.
Or three.
I don't have any D's. Let's put it that way.
And what was the C in?
His most important class.
Does it really matter?
Discrete matter? What?
No, his most important class.
I said, does it really matter?
Well, if it's game design, is it game design?
It might have been.
I'm shocked. I'm beside myself.
Now,
I can't even talk anymore.
Along with him not being here next week, we may also not be here next week. We're not quite sure yet. Given that it's Christmas, I suspect most of you won't bother listening anyway, so why drag my butt in the studio on a Christmas Tuesday?
And my butt.
Yeah. Rich, I don't really care about. He owes us. But
a C in game design.
More than one, man.
All these months, I've been spewing knowledge about game design.
He should be teaching the class by now.
And he has the temerity to get a C.
Yes. So let's talk about games so that he might figure out how to not get a C in two semesters when he goes back to
this. This reflects poorly on me. Do you understand this, Alon?
All right. I know. It does. Listen, this is why we're late, because I had a big talk with him in the car. This is what it was. Anyway.
We were late because Alon didn't realize what time it was. Just want to throw that in there.
All right. Well, I'm trying to decide if I should say that a lot has gone on in the game industry the last couple of weeks, or that not a lot has gone on. And that's because maybe a lot of games have come out, and we've played a lot of stuff, but there hasn't been a whole lot of news, so to speak. Now,
there's been a whole lot of repetitive news. I've noticed that. Like, oh, Jack Thompson got another whatever case kicked out of court because it was retarded. Or, oh, here's another some kind of consumer group or whatever who's complaining about GTA 4 or any of the GTAs.
Well, the prostitutes were complaining about it.
Right, the prostitutes.
We do want to talk about Activision, though, and its rise to the top, I guess, and top is sort of relative. But there's this whole thing about the Guitar Hero and the Rock Band controllers and Harmonix saying that they want their guitars. They wrote the patch even. They have it ready for the PS3, so a Guitar Hero controller from the PS3, meaning Guitar Hero 3, will work in Rock Band. They have the patch. They were ready to release it. And then Sony said, wait, no, we're not going to let you release it, which, you know, and that's in reaction to Activision not liking that. And since Activision is the number one video game publisher at this point, they beat EA, I guess, earlier this year or something.
Yeah.
I suspect they carry some clout. The fact that Sony would even cater to that bothers me a little bit, since it has nothing to do with Activision's game. It has to do with hardware. And there's also third-party controllers that are created. So they should have allowed it. But on top of that, Activision has, you know, the balls to actually tell them this, and the stupidity, because it would help them. It would give people more reason to buy the game. And I can't imagine they're making a ton of money off of the guitar. And then what's also dumb is they then tried to spin it, Activision, I mean, as if it wasn't their fault. It was Harmonix. They said, well, Harmonix didn't want to come to an agreement. Right. And the agreement in this case, in case they weren't clear.
That sounds like shenanigans whenever someone says they didn't want to come to an agreement.
Yeah, exactly. The agreement was, we made a patch for our game to work differently than it does work. Our game. And the agreement is, we're going to release it, and you can't say anything about it. And that's the only agreement that they could come to. That's the only reasonable agreement. But Activision decides that they should come to some other sort of agreement, which can only mean that they want either some sort of money or other compensation that would assist them financially. Like, then you're going to give us code about your game to let your guitars work in our game, which I hope was the only thing that they were whining about, because that would actually be legitimate. But Harmonix claims, at least, and I haven't verified this, I believe they claim that they have, you know, been wanting to work with Activision to get their controllers working in Guitar Hero 3 as well. Do you know anything about that, Rich? Didn't you tell me that they wanted to work with them? Or am I just pegging this on you and making it
No, up? I think they were trying to get the controllers basically to work all around, but Activision's kind of the one.
Yeah, and I it wouldn't surprise me, given that Harmonix has essentially done a lot of things right and for the community of gamers, I mean. And then Activision, not so much, kind of giant and getting bigger. Like I said last week, I'm all happy for her 2 weeks ago. I'm psyched because I own some of them.
Well, it's all about the money, isn't it?
Oh, it is for me. But it's kind of a bummer that they're making these sorts of decisions. So the question is sort of, you know, they're number one on paper, but have they gotten to be like EA was when everyone complained about EA? And it seems to be that general attitude is actually improving regarding EA. Now, regarding the products they put out, I don't know. But the company themselves, they seem to at least be saying that they want innovation. Whether they're producing it is another question. But saying that they want innovation and they want to improve, you know, the industry in some way.
Yeah, don't get me started on that term. Unless you really want.
I know we've talked about it, but
unless you really want it.
But they made a lot of improvements in their employment practices, at least so I hear. And I know people who work there, so, you know, I think they've done a better job. But now Activision's taking their place, and all we hear about is Activision making poor decisions. Well, that's not true. They make some good games, actually, or at least release some good games. But so they're making decisions like this, which kind of piss us off. And, you know, I'm kind of curious what everybody thinks, if maybe they're getting too big and they're starting to not really listen to the community.
All I know is that my Rock Band guitar still works, so...
So you're one of the lucky ones.
I'm still happy.
That's good.
Have you even tried the drums yet?
No, that'll be negatory.
You haven't even, like, hooked them up?
I've hooked them up.
Because the drums are awesome.
Are they?
They're you know what,
actually,
fun.
I did try it at a friend's house for, like, 5 seconds, and I saw a friend actually, like, play it, and, This whole drum with the giant plastic sound, that's not working out at all.
So put some mouse pads on it.
So, does that work? How does that go?
Yeah, it'll deafen the sound of the... you're just complaining about the sound that happens on the pad, right?
I'm on a quest for completely silent drumsticks.
That's legit.
Rubber mallets.
How about using something. Headphones?
No, because it's so flippin' loud. It's going to... obliterate the headphone thing, and plus if you're playing the guitar and someone's playing the drums, right, then the guy in the guitar, I'm trying to strum away my notes and all I hear is, and that's no good, that doesn't work.
Yeah, but you could also not hit them so hard.
Your problem is you need to turn the volume on the game about 3 times louder.
This is what I've always said, actually.
Just make it louder, so then you can't hear the drums.
But we have to develop the infinitely quiet drumsticks. We have the technology. It is possible.
Yeah.
I will continue my quest. And mark my words, one of these days, you'll see.
Did the Konami drum pad have the same problem?
Yeah, totally loud.
Yeah, probably because you're taking two pieces of plastic or rubber or a combination of the two and hitting them.
Yeah, although not as loud, so go figure.
All right. Well... our break's here. We'll be right back after we admonish Rich just a little bit more.
A lot more.
You're listening to Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
crap, it's Chatterbox. We're back. My name's Alon.
My name's Ara.
And my name is Rich.
And we're going to do a show. We were just talking about Activision and how they've gotten really big. We all knew they got big, but
very big.
Have they started acting big? And I don't know if we want to really belabor the issue. I was complaining a little bit about their attitude towards Guitar Hero. And have either of you guys noticed them making any other decisions that are really just, you know, poor for the masses and maybe good for them if you can stretch your thought process to their sort of stupidity? Can we recall any other examples?
I pretty much ignore all news, you know
I
that.
I can't complain because they did come out with Call of Duty 4, so that game's amazing, but I don't know what other games I've actually played that are published by Activision as of late.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Maybe I'm just complaining about one instance and getting worked up about it because it's a game that I care about.
I don't know, you know, give it some time. We know that you like complaining almost as much as I do.
No, I don't think nearly as much. All right, well, then if somebody wants to call in about it, feel free, 866-536-1100. Otherwise, maybe we'll put this question to rest. Maybe I'm just wrong. Ara's got a whole bunch of other stuff he wants to talk about. Specifically, I think Burnout Paradise, which is like Rich.
Burnout Paradise.
Rich has been telling me for the last several days, you know, Burnout Paradise, you could download the demo, and okay. I just haven't.
Okay, so, where do I start Burnout Paradise? Well, it looks really pretty. I'll give it that.
And for the record, we're talking about the 360 version, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of not fair for me, I think, to be complaining so much about a demo because it really is just a demo. And so really, like, you can't say too much there. But I was just, I don't know. The first thing that I noticed is, okay, you're driving around in a, you know, this free roaming type environment. So, oh, great. That hasn't been done a million times before, right? So that I'm just like,
wait, it's not a defined track this time?
No. Well,
no. And here's the thing that really gets me, right, is that you have to drive around the city to get to the race, and then the race is in the city that you were driving in that you had to get to the race with. So when you...
How is it a race if it's free roaming?
Well, no, it's free roaming, and then you get to the race point, and then it becomes a race, right? So it's basically, you know, just like Need for Speed Underground 2 or Underground 1 or, you know, all the myriad of games that are using that type of structure now.
The one that we've complained about in the past?
Right.
Since it's basically useless to go through the city if there's no objective?
Right. I would have imagined that even the developers and publishers would have gotten tired of this by now, but I guess not. I guess they're going to continue to beat this dead horse that was, in fact, stillborn. But
so is there still no objective between the start and the actual race?
Well, we don't know what they're going to put in the city yet, right? Which is why I wanted to qualify my words, because it's just a demo. But here's the really irritating thing, is that you're driving to get to the race, and you basically have to drive through the area that the race is going to be in to get there. So once you start the race, the whole novelty of, oh, here's a race, I'm going to be in a new area, right? That whole effect that had some value in previous games is now just completely demolished. Now you're driving back down the street that you drove up to get there, and so there's just nothing...
I can't tell you of any game that I actually cared about the scenery in.
Well, let me put it to you this way. I mean, there is value in novelty in a game. And when you see something new, right, there's value in that.
Well, you see the first time you drive down the road.
Yeah, when you're not racing. And so that
still
part of it
is equally as fun.
But the first time you drive down, it's...
I think it's... I just drove around the city for an hour, like not even racing.
Yeah, okay, Mr. C in game design. We all know
I'm just saying,
you like
it's
that.
Extremely fun to go really fast and crash into cars and watch them crush and rip apart.
Okay, it looked really cool. I'll grant you
All right, well, let me ask you this. If you get beat up before you get to your race, is your car beat up when you start?
No. Has no effect on what happens. The whole...
Okay, but don't you think also getting there is kind of like a tutorial of how to drive through the city?
It has some value, that kind of thing. But, I mean, we've seen it time and time before, right? I mean, people just want to race. If you just want to race, you can't just race. I mean, hopefully they'll fix that and they'll actually let you just say, I want to race now and I want to do this race instead of having to drive there. Right? So it's
like a whistle in Mario. You just go where you want.
Yeah, I mean, it's just an overblown UI menu that's the shape of a city. And I mean, I guess there's a lot of people that just can't get enough of just driving around a fake world aimlessly, and perhaps Rich is one of them. But I'm definitely not.
You might say that that's perhaps why they bought the game, to drive around a virtual world, don't you think?
Yeah.
Aimlessly being the operative word here.
Well, it's not aimlessly. They want to get to the start point. It's just weird that
what's
you're trying to get to the start.
On the 360 test drive or whatever, that's just like in Hawaii or whatever, and you can just drive around and race.
Yeah, I didn't play too much of that.
Yeah, it's not as cool because the crashes aren't as fun. But I don't know, because you can play online on Burnout too. I don't know if you played online. Like, you can
Burnout
get on
2?
With friends. No,
as well.
As well.
Think he means.
I was just saying you can get online with Burnout Paradise and play and up to, you know, 8 people, and you can like race each other, or you can just like go around and crash into each other.
I
randomly.
Bet you don't have to drive to the start point if you're playing multiplayer.
Well, perhaps they'll have a whole bunch of really cool features, but whatever those were, I didn't see any of them in the demo. So, and I mean, oh yeah, okay, the crashes are cool. What I was going to say before was, okay, I've seen 5 or 6 crashes, and now just the whole, wow, it's so cool, is just, I mean, you just get tired of it. Like, you know what it's going to look like.
I don't get tired of
what
it.
We know that Rich doesn't get tired of
okay,
it.
Okay, so but. When you talk about loving Project Gotham.
Right.
And not liking this game, what's the difference?
Well, the first thing is the mechanics, right? I mean, just the mechanics are different.
They're certainly, yeah, totally different.
But, you know, we don't know what's going to happen in Burnout Paradise, really. I'm just expressing my dissatisfaction of, you know, this demo, which you just have this really boringly laid out city, I should say, right? I mean, it's just it's just a little grid work of streets. It's not fun. They don't have any interesting shapes. The race you go down is just like what takes like, I don't know, like a minute or something.
The demo was an extremely small portion of the city.
That's what I'm saying.
It's like 4%. I'm just pulling that out of nowhere, but that's.
Oh, I'm sure that may be valid. As I said before, I'm qualifying everything I'm saying by saying that this is just a demo, so probably doesn't apply to the whole game. But based on the demo, I wouldn't buy the game.
My experience is usually the demos are very representative of the game.
And if it is, then it's...
Or at least the portion that you were playing. It's not like suddenly the next time you play it, it's going to be different.
Yeah.
Because they're giving you the most refined version of that part of the game.
I've had a pretty mixed bag as far as that goes. But the other thing I wanted to talk about, unless you guys have anything else to say about that game.
No, I didn't say it. I just think it's fascinating that Rich thinks it's really great and I should play.
It's awesome.
And you think it's kind of lame and I shouldn't bother.
Yeah, well, Rich got a C and I make games, so...
All right.
I'll stop with that. I've berated Rich enough.
One point for Ara,
but,
0 points for Rich.
But did you guys play the Culdecept Saga demo?
I did.
On 360?
I played that as well.
Again, Rich did. So you guys have been playing games that I haven't been playing, but I've been playing like Uncharted and Assassin's Creed.
You've been playing the PS3 for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm kind of curious, actually, Rich, what you thought about the Culdecept Saga. Did you play the previous ones? Is this your first exposure to Culdecept?
I had it on the PS2.
Yeah.
And I played that a lot. On the PS2. So, I mean, the demo of this one is basically the PS2 game. At least the first couple levels are exactly the same. But I don't know in later levels if they're adding anything new to the to the game at all. But that's fine with me because I just want to play it.
Yeah, to me it seemed like it's pretty much the same thing. I mean, the board's slightly different,
mm-hmm.
and there's some different cards and stuff, but actually a lot of the cards are the same.
Yeah, which is good, because there's familiarity with it, in my opinion.
Can you tell me the basic premise of this game before we
It's
move
like
on?
Monopoly mixed with Magic the Gathering, is the best way I can describe it.
So it sounds like something crappy mixed with something slightly less crappy, but still pretty crappy.
No. Monopoly is awesome, and Magic the Gathering is
Monopoly
awesome.
Monopoly is all right. of the worst games.
Here's the rub with Culdecept, and... I'm curious to see how Rich will react to this, is that I have this love-hate relationship. When you're winning in Culdecept, it feels fantastic. It's like you're just dominating. It's like everything's falling into place. It feels wonderful. When you're losing, though, you just feel like the biggest piece of S in the world. It's like you're getting pounded into the ground and you can't do anything about it. And all of that comes from the fact that in the end, you roll dice to play the game. And so a lot of times, you know, you're trying to put together some type of long-term strategy, right? But the short-term events, a lot of them are pretty randomized. So, you know, you'll get a bad roll, and you can get totally hammered just by getting a bad roll, and it has nothing to do with your skill. And that's the thing that's really irritating about that game. And a lot of times, like, I'll play it for 2 hours and love it because I'm dominating the computer and I'm getting lucky rolls and I'm able to kind of, like, formulate my strategy exactly the way I want it. But then a lot of times it goes the other way around and I just feel like, you know, you spend an hour or two on a game and you lose and it's like, okay, I've just wasted an hour of my life. What was the point of that?
Well, board games are you know, almost always involving a high amount of chance.
Right. And this is definitely involving a high amount of chance.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So is that what makes it like a board game to me, or is it a board game that just follows the rules?
That's what makes it a board game.
All right.
That's what makes it
So you guys sound like you love it so much and then complain.
Yes. It's love and it's hate simultaneously intertwined.
Right. Well, I hate breaks, but we got to take them. We'll be back.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woo-hoo!
Welcome back, everybody. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
I'm Alon.
And my name is Rich.
Now, we got some listener mail this week.
We've gotten a lot of listener mail over the past several weeks.
We do, but we have one particular listener mail that was regarding our last show when we were talking about the very popular, quote, Gerstmann Gate, or so-called Gerstmann Gate, I guess, about...
You mean two shows ago?
Two shows ago, and... Yeah, that was about two shows ago. I'm in, kind of like a time warp, you know?
Well, Rich wasn't there, so it's kind of like it never happened.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
All right, so... Basically, we got this letter from Kevin. So, Kevin, thank you for your letter. And he says, having just heard Chatterbox Show 202 and your investigative insight into Gerstmann Gate, I would like to point you towards a Joystick article covering the editing of the review of the Kane and Lynch game by Jeff Gerstmann.
All right, that might have been last week's show.
Aha!
We did talk about it 2 weeks in a row.
Oh, ye of little faith.
Okay.
Now, the line you mentioned, because as you guys saw, I was talking about people using the same lines in their reviews.
Yeah, so Rich, since you weren't here,
mm-hmm.
Ara pulled out a line from Gerstmann's review, and then he just put in that line into Google, and it came up almost verbatim in two other reviews for the same game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, now we all knew that the article was edited after Gerstmann got fired, but what I wasn't aware of was that it was very, very severely edited. And so Kevin points out to us that the original line that what I thought said, that same thing that sounded like for press release, was originally, Kane and Lynch Dead Men is an ugly game and we're not necessarily talking about the graphics, which I'm sure was nowhere in any press releases.
I'm pretty positive of that, yeah.
So,
but how is that even close to the line that you...
It's not. It just happened to both be the first line.
Okay.
So sounds like... Whoever rewrote the thing just said, oh, I'm kind of lazy. I'm going to go look at the press release. Oh, this looks like a good sentence and put that in.
How much you want to bet it was the marketing firm that actually sent the revised version?
Nice. Yeah, that would be pretty insidious, huh?
That'd be.
But here's,
how about they said, this is one that we would approve of?
Here's the even more insidious thing is that the note at the end, right? There's an editor's note at the end of this article, the re-edited one. And mm-hmm. It says, this review has been updated to include differences between the Xbox 360 and PS3 versions and a clarification on the game's multiplayer mode. So, sounds relatively innocuous, right?
Oh, yeah. No, it's only been edited to add a couple things. It hasn't really been edited regarding the content or his opinion of the game at all.
Whereas, if you guys go to Joystick and search for some special search terms, you will find that they've severely edited the whole character of the review. So, if this isn't like clear, stark evidence of outright lying, I don't know what is.
You mean lying, saying GameSpot was saying that it wasn't this review that had them fire him?
Right.
Or if there's what people are saying about them pandering to the
Well, the whole thing, right? If there's any suspicion about what went on, I mean, this is some absolutely clear, hard copy of them just completely lying to everybody. Mm-hmm. So,
okay, well, you heard it here third, or fourth, or fifth, or first.
Yep.
That Chatterbox declares that GameSpot is absolutely lying.
So there you go. And here's another thing. Let's switch gears for a second.
For the record, I don't really want to be sued. That's all opinion.
Yes, don't sue me either. I spent all my money buying my car anyway, so I don't have any left. So, another interesting thing that I read a few weeks ago, this has been kind of sitting on the queue here, is that there was a interview with this Take-Two Interactive CEO. right? And here's this quote that he said. He said, "Video game development is not getting any cheaper. It's a capital-intensive business, and I don't see that going away. This will drive some of the smaller competitors out." And the problem that I have with this is that I can see kind of two things happening. The first thing is that it seems like everyone is just assuming that in order to have a good game or even a profitable game, that you have to spend increasingly more amounts of money, which to a certain extent is true, but it seems to be really exaggerated. I mean, there's a lot of good games that are selling that didn't take tons and tons of money to make. And I'm sure that we can all think of them off the top of our heads.
A couple, but obviously they're few and far between.
Right. And the other aspect of this is that it seems like the bigger video game players like Take-Two or Activision, all this was actually in light of the Activision-Vivendi merger, or EA or Sony or all those guys, it seems like what they're trying to do is actually kind of up the ante for everyone as much as they can so that they'll minimize their own competition. And I think I've kind of hinted at this before with, you know, Sony wants games to be priced higher. I mean, they've said this at talks and conferences. Yeah. They don't want games to be cheap.
Yeah.
Which is mysterious to me because, I mean, right?
Sony's insane, though. They've proven that over the last year or more.
Yeah, to be honest, games are very cheap to begin with. And if they went up to $60 or $80, like, you're still getting a lot of value out of the games as long as you're careful about what games you buy. The only reason that games have to be cheap is because there's so much crap, you might get stuck with a piece of junk game. But if you're getting only good games and you're getting, you know, 20 hours of gameplay out of them, that's far more entertainment value, you know, per unit of time than really any other paid...
Perhaps. But the thing that I don't understand is they're trying to basically rub everyone out. It's like they're afraid of some kind of indie developer making a flippin' awesome game.
Well, this is a different issue. How much a game costs and why games are getting more expensive to make are certainly related, but two different issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think for a second that the guy making that statement really wants them to get more expensive, because it affects him in a very serious way. I mean, every small percentage... That a game is, I mean, more expensive, right? If this year it's 2% more expensive to make a game versus next year when it's going to be 5%, right?
Right.
I mean, that's huge on their bottom line. I don't think he really wants to get bigger, but he's facing reality.
Sure.
Maybe I'm naive.
Sure. Well, I mean, there's also the other thing you remember about it, I don't know, it was a year or so ago, with some of the sports games, right? What was it? Was it like football or basketball or whatever when, you know, EA had... the official game, and then what was it, like Take-Two or some other...
Take-Two. Hey.
Yeah, probably Take-Two.
The cheaper game, the $20 game, and the $20 game...
Are you talking about, like, ESPN Football, like, 3 years ago or something, and then EA bought
the... Yeah, EA bought them, because the $20 game started selling like crazy,
yeah,
and now you can't
more.
Buy a $20 sports game anymore.
Nope. And now, actually, ESPN is part of EA with the Madden Football.
Yeah, so there you go. It's like they're making it... The entry into the market for a developer, right, is already hard, and it seems like the bigwigs are trying to make it as hard as possible in order to minimize competition, which, I mean, I guess in the end, I mean, okay, it's capitalist system, so, you know, all's fair in that, right? But at the same time, it seems like it's just kind of, you know, for consumers, stifling a lot of things.
Now, I think it's really a natural progression. We, as consumers, continually demand... better everything, right?
Yeah.
And so the machines are getting more complex to begin with, but then we also require more assets. And so, like, beyond just us wanting a new game or a new experience, right, we need to have better art, so better textures and more models, which means more of everything. If you're going to have more models and more levels, obviously the levels are bigger, so it's going to take more people to design levels, not just the artwork in them, but the actual design. Like, you know, you've had to design levels before too. When you have a big game, there's bigger scope involved, so there's more people programming as well. I mean, there's more of everything because we want it to be more. The only thing you could theoretically reduce easily anyway is, you know, what Will Wright's trying to do with procedural generation of certain assets, right?
Yeah.
So
some textures wouldn't have to be made, and perhaps some models as well. But certainly the premise of the game is still large, and the fact that it's taking them eons to release this one game that's finally using procedural stuff.
Like 2 years ago or something.
I don't think that's been cheap, although one of his talks was all about how it's they're trying to make it cheaper and not go crazy. His discussion often was regarding expensive data rather than expensive money. So, I mean, it's still expensive to make games no matter how you slice it, and it's really because of what we're asking for. I don't think it's because they're just trying to make it more expensive. It's all your fault for playing games.
My fault?
Yeah.
Personally?
Yeah, well, I don't play a lot of games. I play board games, dude. They're easy to make.
Yeah.
I play Catan and Carcassonne.
Must be rich because I don't play games anymore.
All right, we'll be back. All right, we're back again for our last segment. My name is Alon.
Aura.
And my name is Rich.
All right, so before we move on, I want to remind everybody about our website, chatterboxgameshow.com. If you're listening through a podcast or something like that, feel free to head over to the website when you're at a computer if you're not already. Again, it's chatterboxgameshow.com. We also do the show live. Most people don't listen live, but you can. And you can even call in and talk to us. 866-536-1100. It's Tuesday nights. Depending on your time zone, might be a different time, like 8 p.m., 11 p.m., midnight. I don't know. And then one other thing, you can also talk to us live while we're doing the show. We've got live chat. So that's about it. You can talk to us. You can call us. You can email us.
You can go to UAT.
Oh, that's... Yeah, we like to mention that often as well. UAT.edu, the website for the University of Advanced in Technology, the school that Rich is currently failing out of. And it's a good school, though, because they don't... Bad schools don't fail their students because they want to just stay and keep paying. But this school is so good they can afford to lose him.
I'm glad that they have some standards.
Yeah. So, I mean, I passed, but I am a super genius. Rich, on the other hand, not so much.
So, but. I ran across something really, really fascinating today.
Are we going to switch topics from the two that you mentioned last time? Because you started talking and then you just talked about it and then like we didn't discuss.
Yeah, we're going to just switch.
So the quote.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. I just like to say something and then, you know, rant for a while and then, you know, it's the ADD thing.
So it's good though. I know that if one day I don't actually show up for the show, you could just do the full 40 minutes by yourself.
I could. I'd probably cover about 50 topics.
Okay. That's cool. Yeah. It was funny actually during the break though. I was reading
two
one of the
minute.
Emails that that Pen15, a faithful listener of the show, sent over, and he was saying that we were talking about Metacritic last week, right? And the
right.
value of Metacritic. And he was saying, I read stuff like reviews from places like such and such and GameSpot.
Yes,
I don't think I can ever go to GameSpot.
Perhaps no longer.
With clear conscience.
I think the worst part is I use GameFAQs, and now I feel bad about that because it's part of GameSpot.
Well, if it's useful, it's useful. I went to GameFAQs recently.
But I don't go to GameSpot.
Did I have to go to GameFAQs?
I mean, I haven't gone to GameSpot for a while.
Well, you don't go there for... video game purchasing advice.
No. Yeah, you're not looking for opinion. But I had to go to GameFAQs to get through Trauma Center, man.
Yeah.
So Rich and I were playing Trauma Center.
That
two
game is
player.
So hard.
Rich does not know how to stitch people up.
I don't. I just kind of wiggle it back and forth and hope it crosses it the wound enough.
You gotta
don't, go,
game,
don't go to medical school, Rich.
No.
It's a good game. All right, but there you were saying something.
Right.
Let me not
speaking,
take you off the topic for the thing that we're not going to discuss.
About medical, and actually has nothing to do with medical things, but it has something to do with academics. Here's a really interesting study I read about, and you guys know how much I love studies. It was titled, Do Girls Prefer 2D Games? So check this out. This Tina R. Zamek, I'm probably obliterating this last name, published the results of a study on 2D versus 3D game preference in boys and girls aged 13 and 14. And actually, the study was called 2D or Not 2D, Gender Implications of Visual Cognition in Electronic Games.
That sounds like a talk at GDC.
Perhaps.
Right.
Perhaps. The study asked boys and girls to choose games from, oddly enough, they picked a Nintendo 64 emulator. And they measured the preference through choice and post-study ranking. So the interesting part of this is that the results said that almost 70% of girls preferred the 2D games like Yoshi's Story and so on, and about the same percentage of boys preferred 3D games like Ocarina of Time and so on.
Could that be because the art is so much better in a 2D game?
I guess, but
I mean, it's the 64, though. Like, is that...
Well, here's the funny thing. It's the 64.
That's so old.
Which makes the study even more valid, though, because we all know how crappy the 3D was on the 64.
Oh, yeah. But I'm saying, like,
well, that's
today,
why it's not so valid. Today, the 3D looks very
good. If you have
good.
Games like Wind Waker...
Right, but if a group prefers 3D games that are really crappy compared to 2D games...
Well, that and its boys playing Zelda or Yoshi.
Yeah, but I thought you said that they prefer 2D.
The girls prefer 2D, but the boys prefer the 3D. And about the same proportion of them prefer 3D.
Okay, but my curiosity goes into it. Was this preference based off of simply flashing the game in front of them or playing the game for half an hour? Or
My impression is that they were allowed to play a bunch of games and they decided which one they liked, although I'm completely making this up just based off memory.
I'd want to read into that because, I mean, do the boys prefer the 3D games because it's 3D or... They prefer the gameplay of it, and it happens to be 3D.
Good question.
Because, I mean, if you give them other 2D games, I don't know.
Here's what some of the conclusions said. They said that results indicated that the 2D games are easier than 3D games for both females and males. Now, easier, I'll point out that, like, you can play them and know where you're going and what's happening. But they said the majority of females would rather play games that are easy, while the majority of males would rather play games that are challenging. So that's kind of interesting.
Since you people can't see what Ara just did, he did the quotes in the air.
Yeah, I'm gesticulating. It improves my articulation abilities.
Continue. You just remember that they're not here to see that.
Yes, well, you know, it's for your entertainment as well. And by your, I mean you, Rich, and Alon. So the females tended not to like the confusion in 3D video games, whether it was unclear directions, objectives, camera perspectives, or not knowing how to control the character. This is interesting to me because
it's just bad game design.
These are the things I complain about. So what is this? Does this make me effeminate?
You're a girl?
What's going on here? And
well, no, but I mean, there have been all sorts of studies just about visual cognition and things in women and concept of direction. I've had friends, so we've talked about, I had a couple women play BioShock or some other 3D first-person shooter,
right.
And they couldn't even grasp
couldn't move.
Walking or moving in the world. Forget about playing the game and
right.
what sort of...
Aiming and shooting were out of the question.
Oh, yeah. Just walking forward
right.
was a difficulty.
Well here's the thing. It's like what my preferences and philosophies about game design... are just aligning exactly with, you know, what the girls would prefer in this study.
Maybe you should be making games like Hannah Montana and Bratz.
Yeah, you'd like that, wouldn't you?
Your favorite games are also shooters, right?
Yeah, they are shooters.
Space shooters, not first person.
Like side,
right, the old school style.
Yeah, which are traditionally more two-dimensional than 3D.
Right. So it's kind of interesting. I wonder if this whole study is just basically an artifact of the fact that perhaps most of the girls they studied... just didn't play games as frequently as boys, and therefore, kind of what you were alluding to, therefore, since the 2D games are naturally, intrinsically more accessible, they liked them better, whereas in a 3D game, there's all kinds of like conventions and all mm-hmm. kinds of things that if you haven't played any video games before, it's much harder to grasp than something that's just happening in strict 2D that you can, because you see everything's in front of you in 2D.
Yeah.
In 3D, you have this whole concept of stuff being behind you that's not on the screen, right? Which it's harder, especially, well, particularly if you don't play them.
I mean, that doesn't necessarily devalue what they're saying, the fact that girls like 2D better. The fact is, girls don't play games as much, and they perhaps would be more likely to pick up a two-dimensional game. So if you're trying to cater to that audience, then you should consider that, right? So it makes sense. I think there's still value in the supposed conclusions or claims, but the reasoning for it is what I'm especially curious about. Like, does it have anything to do with sex or
I don't think
more
it does,
because
that'd mean that I'm more girly, and I refuse to accept that.
I would just say that you're not terribly girly.
Exactly.
We don't have a lot of pictures of you
thank
on the
you
website.
For that, thank you for that vote of confidence, Alon.
Yeah. Rich, on the other hand, well...
Well, what?
No comment there.
Okay.
I think I'm clearly the most feminine of all of us. And on that note, we should close the show. I don't think we're going to be back next week, folks, but stay tuned just in case. The website obviously will be updated. Otherwise, you'll get a rerun, and we'll be back in the new year. So enjoy Christmas.
Good night, guys.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.